It is good to be back in the studio this morning. And it's good to see Dave Blanks. How are you, Dave?
Excellent, Wynn. I hope you are as well.
Yes, yes. Busy day. Got a lot going on. Rushed over here. But that's sort of like every day, seems like.
Well, it's better than not having anything to do. That's kind of depressing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. It's not good for you. Idle hands.
Yes. Idle hands are the devil's workshop.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not in the Bible, but the principle is there.
I always kind of thought it was in the Bible.
No, it's not.
It's just an old adage.
Just an old saying. But the principle is definitely there. We need to have something to do. But it is good to be here today. And also, got a special guest in the studio this morning, but she's not saying anything. My wife, Kim, is in here. We're in town together. And so I wasn't going to let her sit outside, you know.
Makes sense.
Come in and see what it's all about. So good to have her today, although she's said she's not saying anything, but that's all right.
We could have said that she was here on numerous other shows. Yeah, and
yes.
You wouldn't know the difference. But
that's all right.
Yeah, she is here.
Well, let's get into the subject matter today. I did have a couple of announcements I wanted to make. This is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And this Sunday is our homecoming. So if you don't have a regular church family, place you attend, we'd love for you to come and be with us this Sunday. We have homecoming, of course, once a year. And so we're looking forward to that. We'll have special singing and just a good time of fellowship after church. We always look forward to that. And also, I wanted to let you know about the website. It is MountLebanonBC.org. And if you want to go there, it's MTLEBANONBC.org. And we've had a lot of people looking in because Sunday's messages are on there. The Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast is on there. A lot of people are listening in all around the country. And so we're thankful for that. That's a great outreach. We'd love for you to go. And I preached a message on Sunday. I'd like for everybody to go and listen to. If you go to the website, you click on sermons. The first one that'll come up is last Sunday's message. I preached on how to pray for traitors. And I preached out of Psalms 109 in verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Let his days be few and another take his office." And I've seen a bumper sticker that said, "I pray for the president every day," Psalms 109 verse 8. "Let his days be few and another take his office." And when I first seen that, I thought, that's funny. But I got studying about that, and you'll just have to listen to the message. I encourage everybody. And what I'm going to talk about today is along those lines. What I'm going to do is read out of Proverbs chapter number 17, because today is the 17th. And Dave, I don't guess we'll take any calls today, because I've got way more than I can get through with today.
Duly noted.
So Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 15, we're going to do a little, we're going to go there to sort of get started today. And I always encourage everybody to read through the book of Proverbs. There is a chapter for every day of the month. There's 31 days in August, so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. If you get that, it is a good habit to get into reading God's Word every day, and Proverbs has lots of practical advice and instruction for how to live our daily lives. So I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 15 to sort of get us started today, what I want to talk about. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15 says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." And what it's talking about there is the person that comes along and justifies the wicked. Whatever would come under that category, somebody that comes along and says, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that," even though God says that it's wicked. And the same person that comes along and condemns the just, somebody that is on the right side. And just, and as the Bible says there, it says, "Even they both are abomination to the Lord." Whenever you find an abomination in the Bible, or the word abomination, what it literally means is to be a stench in the nostrils of God. In modern day language, what that means is that to the Lord, it stinks. And so that's what it means to be an abomination. And God says in his word that both these both of these principles here in verse number 15 is an abomination to him. Somebody that justifies the wicked or somebody that condemns the just. And what I want to talk about today is along the lines of what I said to begin with, but I've got several examples. And I'm going to talk about the president today, so if that hurts your feelings or scares you or whatever, you know, just buckle your seatbelt or whatever. But I want to prove a point. I want to show something today. First of all, along the lines, and I say this, I'm just going to say it right at the very beginning, Mr. Obama, he fits the bill of verse number 15 because he is guilty of justifying the wicked and condemning the just. Now, first of all, I'm going to share with you, one of our listeners sent this to me in the mail, and it is a reprint of a publication by Southwest Radio Ministries. This is a little article by a man named Dr. LaVon R. Yule. He's been the pastor of the Bible Church in, I don't even know how to say that, Salanti, Michigan, for over 30 years. Along with his work in the ministry, he has been a community activist for well over 30 years, which has afforded him the opportunity to work with numerous groups and individuals for the good of society. Mr. Yule is a black pastor. I think that needs to be noted. And his article, he says, Obama's relentless attack on Christian values, and he has 18 ways that Mr. Obama has been an enemy to the Christian or to the cause of Christ. He says, no president in American history has shown as much contempt for the Christian faith as Barack Obama. Below is a list of some of the actions he has supported and made law since taking office. And I'm going to quickly go through these things. He says, Obama's on record as saying that the homosexual lifestyle is no different than the heterosexual lifestyle. Number two, he is a strong supporter of abortion, which includes the horrible practice of partial birth abortion, which kills a baby while it is hanging out of its mother's womb. Obama has also voted more than once to allow a live baby to die on a tray if it survives the abortion process. Number three, he does not accept Jesus as the only way to heaven. And I could comment on a lot of these, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. Number four, he supports the Freedom of Choice Act. This act would force Christians to perform abortions against their wishes or faith. Number five, he is the first president in recent memory who did not honor the National Day of Prayer in the White House with a dinner or breakfast. Number six, he supports overthrowing the Defense of Marriage Act. This act states that marriage is only between a man and a woman. Number seven, Obama has turned the annual Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn into a time to promote homosexual couples who claim they are parents. Number eight, he has been documented as saying ministers who preach against the homosexual lifestyle are homophobic. Number nine, he supports reducing the deduction for charitable donations as on one's tax returns. He says this will most certainly discourage some from donating to churches and ministries. Number 10, he said, he supported and signed the hate crime bill. Similar hate crime bills have been used in Europe, Canada, and even in America to bring legal charges against ministers who teach the Bible's position on homosexuality. And I'll say right there, I get a report every month from a ministry called CLA, the Christian Law Association, and it is a fact that in America, every month somebody else is sued and being sued. Churches are having problems. Pastors across this land are having problems simply because they have come along and said, thus saith the Lord. This is what God's word says. And this hate crime speech, had a missionary from Canada several months ago, and he told me that in Canada, and they have similar laws on their books, that if he stands up and preaches anything that offends anybody, and anybody goes to the government and says, I have been offended, that he can be shut down, his church. He can be hauled into court. He can get in trouble with the law over just simply preaching what Christians say. You know, this is what the Bible says. Just, I'm not going to say giving his opinion, but I would say giving his opinion on what the Bible says about something. This is dangerous legislation. Number 11, in less than a week in office, he rescinded the Mexico City policy, which prevents the use of taxpayers' money for providing abortions around the world. Number 12, he approved 13 new human embryonic stem cell lines for experimentation. Number 13, he's on record as approving the teaching of five-year-olds the acceptance of homosexuality as being normal. Number 14, he and Hillary Clinton attended a prayer breakfast recently, and they used this occasion to condemn Uganda for taking a stand against the homosexual lifestyle. Number 15, he is working to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law, and I've been in the military, and I've got many thoughts upon that as well, but I've got to move on this morning. Number 16, Obama has declared the presidential proclamation June as Homosexual Pride Month. And, you know, once upon a time, June was known as the month for brides, and now he's proclaimed it to be Homosexual Pride Month. Number 17, Obama has also stated that America is not a Christian nation. I heard him say that in his speech that he gave in Turkey. And also number 18, Obama's administration has treated Israel worse than any of our recent administrations. To go against Israel means going against the word of God. And then Dr. Yule goes on and he says, President Obama has chastised the black community and called it homophobic. He has a disregard and disrespect for the values of the black community. All of the items listed above speak of a person who does not respect Christian values, which means he should not have the support or vote of Christians. And once again, this is from Dr. LaVon Yule. He is a black pastor in Michigan, Salanti, Michigan. I think that's the way you say that, for over 30 years. And the title of that article, Obama's Relentless Attack on Christian Values. So that is from somebody just giving another perspective, not just mine. And I think it adds weight to it to point out that he is a black pastor. But then also, I was talking about Proverbs 17 and verse 15, where it talks about somebody who is an abomination to the Lord, talking about he that condemneth the just. Of course, it's provable now that Mr. Obama has done this. But also, in the first part of verse number 15, it says, he that justifieth the wicked. And what I really wanted to get into today was the fact that over the weekend, Mr. Obama came out, and you know, in our country, there's been a debate over the past several weeks over a Islam or a Muslim community center and mosque being built just two blocks away from Ground Zero, where 9/11 took place and thousands of Americans and others died during terrorist attacks on this country, which were performed by 100% all Islamic fundamentalist terrorists is what they called. But Islamic fundamentalist conducted these attacks. So there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of strong feelings over whether this mosque should be built there or not. And I want to say that I am all for religious liberty. I'm not for curtailing the religious liberties of anybody. The name of this program and our emphasis and thrust is Blessings of Liberty. And we go back and we always bring about what the Bible says and what our forefathers fought for and what our Constitution says. And of course, we have the right to free speech and we have the right to the exercise of our religion. So that's not what I'm talking about today. But I'll make the point like this when we talk about the religion of Islam. When somebody else's freedom of religion, when it crosses over and impedes my freedom of religion, then there's where we have a problem. And when we look at Islam, when we look at the teachings of Muhammad, what you find is not a religion. Let me put it like this. If Muslims had founded the country of America, I wouldn't be on here today talking about God's word. I wouldn't be reading verses of scripture out of the Bible. I wouldn't be able to say that Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because if you go to a Islamic country what you're going to find out is that you won't find Christian churches. You will not find freedom of religion in these countries such as Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, India, all of these countries that are predominantly Muslim countries. There is no such thing as freedom of religion. And if you do convert to Christianity, you are in danger of having your head cut off. And a good friend of mine pointed out the other day what it talks about in the book of Revelation, where it says over there, it talks about the martyrs who were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And we got to talking about it. Of all the religions that have persecuted Christianity, one is famous for beheading, and it's the religion of Islam. And so I want to point out something that Mr. Obama said over the weekend, and I want to point this out. He says he's a Christian, but he is far more a friend to the Muslims than he has ever pretended to be to the Christians. And this was Saturday's Winston-Salem Journal, and it says, Obama backs Muslim center. It says, President Obama delivered a strong defense last night of a proposed Muslim community center and mosque near Ground Zero in New York, using a White House dinner celebrating Ramadan to proclaim that as a citizen and as president, I believe that Muslims have the same right to practice their religion as anyone else in this country. And I want to point out some things about them practicing their religion. When I went to Alaska, someone gave me a magazine, and it's called Whistleblower, and it's from worldnetdaily.com, and the whole magazine is about Islam. And on the very front of it, it talks about why the government and media seem oblivious to America's rapid infiltration by a violent totalitarian movement. See, if radical Islam gets a foothold in America, then our religious freedoms will be gone forever. And on the front of this, it has a mob of, I suppose, Muslims, and they're holding up signs. One sign says Sharia, the true solution, and Sharia law is to take the laws from 7th century Arabia and transplant them into modern-day society. That's why the women cover themselves up. That's why the beheadings. That's why the terrorism, all of these things. But they want this Sharia law instituted in England right now, which would do away with the regular laws in England, and this would be above and beyond. Another sign says Islam will dominate the world, and underneath it, it says freedom can go to hell. And then there's another sign in here I wanted to point out. It said, behead those who insult Islam. You remember when the cartoon, and it's just slipped my mind, I've never watched it much, but a while back a cartoonist, he insulted Muhammad.
South Park,
that was it. And then the Muslims, they said, you know, kill you, we're going to persecute you, and all these things. And then it wasn't a little while, there was a bomber in New York City. They didn't say very much about it, but it was right across the street from South Park Studios. And several years ago, Salman Rushdie wrote a book called The Satanic Verses, and the Muslims literally had a hit out on him. They were going to kill him because he wrote a book which was exposing the fact that Islam, at the very beginning, was not a monotheistic religion. It was a plural. It was plural. They had many gods, and talked about that and exposed this so-called secret. And he offended Islam, and so they were going to kill him. But Obama came out and said, you know, he's for them having the right to practice their religion. And what he doesn't point out is if they're free to practice their religion like they really want to, you and I will not be able to practice our religion any longer. And he says, after weeks of avoiding the high-profile battle over the center, his press secretary, Robert Gibbs, said last week that the president did not want to get involved in local decision-making. Obama stepped squarely into the debate, leaving little doubt about how he feels. He said, I understand the emotions that this issue engenders. Ground Zero is indeed hallowed ground, the president said in remarks prepared for the annual White House iftar, the sunset meal breaking the day's fast. Now, as an American citizen, I wasn't aware that the presidents were celebrating Muslim holidays and things in the White House, but they are. And it goes back and it says in this article, and I've got to turn the page there, and I know you can hear it on the radio, and sometimes that's irritating, but it says, in holding the iftar, Obama was following a White House tradition that, while sporadic, dates to Thomas Jefferson, who held a sunset dinner for the first Muslim ambassador to the United States. President George W. Bush held iftars annually. And I went and did some independent investigating on that. Dave, he's looking at me here, and Kim. And what that means is...
You do that a lot.
Yeah, that it's been sporadic.
Yeah.
That means Thomas Jefferson did it, and Bill Clinton did it, and George Bush did it, and Obama. And that's a sporadic. But they would leave the impression, you know, that, oh, all these presidents, you know, they're...
Every two or three.
Yeah, every two or three years, you know,
yeah,
they'll have this going on and stuff. And so... that was interesting to me that they're holding these iftars. Well, he does it every year now and makes a great big deal out of it. I wanted to give just a little bit of history about the religion of Islam, and I won't have but just a few minutes to go into this today, but originally Islam, you notice all the flags have the crescent, moon, and star. That's because when Muhammad started the religion of Islam, and I'm just quickly, I've got a few notes here I'll go through. Islam means devoted. That's what it means. That's the religion, and a Muslim is a follower of Islam. And so sometimes we use the terms interchangeably there, but there's three major monotheistic religions in the whole world. One is Judaism. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's their Shema. That's their, what we might say, doctrinal statement. The Jewish people believe in one God. And God in His Word had told the Jewish people not to worship the gods of the heathens. And the heathens worshipped everything under the sun, including the sun and the moon and the stars. They worshipped everything. And that's why when God sent the plagues upon Egypt, He plagued the river, they worshiped the river god. He plagued the cattle, they worshiped the cattle god. I mean, if it didn't move, they worshiped it, and they worshiped everything. And God told them not to learn the ways of the heathen and not to worship the false gods and all these things. So the Jews are monotheistic. They worship one God. Christians are monotheistic. They worship one God. We also worship the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's from John chapter number 1. And Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. There is no, when we talk about the Trinity, we're not talking about three gods. We're talking about one God who has manifested Himself to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's a lesson in and of itself. And then there is Islam, that says in its very tenets in Islam, to be a true Muslim, you have to say the Shahadad, which means this, to bear witness. And they all say this in their prayer times: I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is His messenger. But if you go back and you find out about the true foundations of Allah, Allah and Jehovah are not one and the same God. Allah was the family God of Muhammad's tribe. To the Muslims, Mecca is holy ground. To be a true Muslim, and, you know, if they can make a pilgrimage to Mecca, I mean, that just puts them up there with, you know, being the cream of the crop. And the reason that Mecca is important is because that's where Muhammad is from. And in Mecca, there was a building, it was called the Kaaba. And in the Kaaba, it was a cubical building which at that time housed 360 different deities or false gods from each Arabian tribe in that area. And each tribe was able to pick its own god that they worshipped, and they would put an image of this god in the Kaaba. Well, Muhammad got the idea that his god, Allah, the moon god, ought to be the only god. And so after years of fighting and being run out of Mecca and living in Medina, and then he got an army together and he came back to Mecca and he went into the Kaaba and he overtook the town there, and he went into the Kaaba and he destroyed all of the gods, all of the false gods except for his. And that's where they get that there is no god but Allah. But all it is that Muhammad, who was a terrorist and who raped and pillaged and had many wives. He had a little girl, 8 years old, that was his wife. I mean, he was a messed up dude. And he gathered an army, and he went into Mecca. He destroyed and killed all of these people. That's where this religion comes from. That's the very foundation of it. I'm not being mean today. I'm not being derogatory. If you study it out, that's the facts of history. And so this is the foundation of Islam, and Islam is a religion that wants to transport what went on then into modern day. And that's why these countries are, why the women have no rights, why they go around covered up, why they have Ramadan and all of these things. It has not changed in all these hundreds and hundreds of years. And Islam wants to dominate the world, wants to have Sharia law, where still, If you insult Islam, that you would be beheaded. And they still have beheadings, and they still have all of these things. They have arrests. I have missionary friends who have been in other countries. I have a missionary friend, one of the fellows I went to Alaska with a while back, and he had just come back from the country of Egypt, where they had a big conference over there, and they do in Egypt allow Christians, but they cannot proselyte. They cannot preach the gospel and say, you know, you need to be saved and become a Christian and forsake Islam. But still, when you preach the gospel, and the power of God, the gospel changes lives and people get saved and they have to come out of Islam. And he said every one of those pastors had been arrested in that country. And they all knew of people who had been put to death by their own families because they had converted to Christianity. And this is what Mr. Obama is a friend to. I read this morning, and my time is almost gone. I read that there's a school in Dearborn, Michigan, that is having football practice from 11 p.m. at night until 4 o'clock in the morning. And they're having this at night because it is the Muslim month of Ramadan. And during the month of Ramadan, Muslims, they fast during the daytime. They don't eat, they don't drink anything during the daytime until after sunset. So the high school football team is having practice in the middle of the night because one or two Muslims are on the team and the whole school. Can you imagine that? And Christian parents, they won't even stand up and say, we're not playing ball on prayer meeting night. But for the Muslims, we'll change everybody's schedule. We'll change the whole thing. And in our country, if good people do not stand up and say, look, we're going down the wrong road, we're going to lose our liberties, then we're going to find more and more we are under the influence and the control and having to live our lives, not by Christian principles, but by Muslim principles, because the man in the White House is a greater friend to the Muslim than he is the Christian. Well, anyway, our time is quickly come and gone today. I appreciate you listening in. Please go to the website and find the message, How to Pray for Traitors, and it'll help you. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Wynn. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty right here on AM 1450 WATA Boone.